This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good morning, this is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 229 of Within the Trenches, a podcast based on the experience of being a 911 dispatcher. This episode is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services, and we're recording live from the Vendor Hall here in Springfield, Illinois, for the 2018 Illinois Public Safety Telecommunications Association Conference, IPSTA. You know, the last episode that I did, they said you should have just said IPSTA because it's so long. I'll do that next time.
For sure.
I usually have a story, but we're just going to get into this because this is going to be fun. Before we started recording, actually, we were recording already. We were already having fun, so I'm very excited for this to have my guests on. So my first guest is Tracy Eldridge, and she is the Public Safety Community Engagement Manager with Rapid SOS.
Hello. I know, lots of words. Lots of words.
Holy crap, man. You need to shorten that shit up. PSCEM.
You know what my official title is? Rah-rah, sis, boom-bah. Like, that's what I do for
I
this
like
company.
That.
That's my awesome. Official. I am the rah-rah, sis, boom-bah for Rapid SOS.
Or if you shorten it up, it's PISCM.
Yeah, let's not.
PSCEM. Yeah, it doesn't sound as cool. I like the rah rah sis boom
bah. Okay, we'll go with that.
I'm not even going to edit that part because I liked it. It's fun. And then I have Dr. Michelle Lilly.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes. How's it going?
It's going great.
Now, you and I did an episode a long ass time ago.
Yeah.
2012. I believe you had just completed a PTSD study.
Yeah.
And It was something that I had not heard about. You know, I'm not even sure how I got your information to begin with, but I knew I had to have you on because there was so much in the beginning of this podcast that I was trying to get stories out there, but also go on the other side of the traumatic piece of public safety and what happens with 911. So if you could really quick, as we start this out, just the gist of what you had done with that first study there.
Yeah. So I had worked, so I'm a PTSD researcher. I studied trauma, violence. Most of the time I've studied people who are victims of interpersonal trauma, so rape, assault. But while I was in graduate school, I did one project with retired police officers. And then when I started my position at Northern Illinois University as an assistant professor, I was talking about some of that work with retired police officers with a student of mine, Heather Pierce. And she is actually married to a cop. And so we were kind of talking about cops and, you know, kind of the mentality.
That never happens. Just that she's married to cops.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I know.
I've never heard of that before.
Shocking. But it was so funny. She didn't even tell me she had worked in 911. Mm-hmm. And so it was maybe the next day or a couple days later that she said, yeah, I don't know if I ever told you, but I worked in 911 for 7 years before returning to school. And I said, oh, wow. And she goes, and I did a database search and there's not one study on PTSD in 911. And so she started explaining the position to me and everything that's involved in being a 911 telecommunicator. And I was just floored, right? I just was like, I can't believe that there's no research on this. This is crazy. And so she still had some connections in the 911 field. And I, you know, we kind of pulled this project together. It was just kind of, let's see what we can get. It was a pretty small sample, about 130 telecommunicators from a couple states. And it's one of the first studies to look at PTSD, symptom severity, and 911. And then we followed that up with a larger study in 2015 with 600 telecommunicators from across this country. We used a different measure that was looking more at kind of cumulative exposure to trauma, not mm-hmm. just, you know, one event. And then that study found about 20 to 25% of telecommunicators likely meet cutoff for PTSD.
Wow.
So, and yeah, I don't remember how you and I got connected. Somebody said, you need to hook up with Ricardo. He's doing this cool thing in the trenches. And then we sent some emails and yeah.
Yeah, and then it just happened.
Yeah, it just
That's
happened.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And here we are.
6 years ago, you know, but it feels like a lifetime ago.
It does. Yeah, yeah. It definitely does.
Yeah.
So then How did the both of you get into working together? Because a lot has happened since the time that you and I have did that episode, and that study had come out, and a lot has changed just within the the last few years. You know, people are really looking at dispatchers and such and what is going on with them in the seat, listening to these calls on the phone, and what happens afterwards. Or maybe even what doesn't happen afterwards, because a lot of people don't look for help.
Right.
Or the dispatch center themselves, you know, the admin and stuff, they don't think to pay attention to what it is that's going on. So, and Tracy, yourself, now you suffer from PTSD.
Absolutely.
And you tell your story. You go all over the place. And here at this conference, you're actually doing you're the closing speaker.
Absolutely.
And you're going to be telling your story and stuff. Now, I did get a chance at, I think it was in Nashville, maybe.
Nashville, yep.
The both of you did a session, which was excellent. I think they should have given you guys longer time to do it, though.
So do we.
Yeah. Because it seemed like you guys were just really getting into it. And you could feel it, the energy in the room, that people were getting engaged and they were really getting into it. And then it was, so we've got like 5 minutes left. And no, I don't want it to end yet. I want to hear more.
So much that we couldn't cover. And,
right.
You know, so I met Michelle at an APCO conference maybe 5 or 6 years ago with Tony Harrison. So I teach with Tony Harrison in the public safety group. And I had wrote a class called How to Save a Life, Yours. And I teach that class all over the country. And there was some irony that there was one section that I did on PTSD. And as I was doing the research for PTSD, that section, I stumbled across her study. And it was almost like I was meeting a celebrity when Tony was like, oh, this is Dr. Michelle Lilly. And I'm like,
I remember you actually, because I remember being like, oh my God, this is why I do this work, because people are really excited.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, this is amazing.
So I told her about the class, and I told her about that I have her stuff in there, and thanked her for doing what she did, because at that time, I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I didn't know that I was going to be where I am today and delivering the message that I am to telecommunicators all over the country. And the ability that the platform that I have to do that is solely because my big girl job, Rapid SOS, allows me to do that.
Which is amazing.
They support it and they understand the need for it. And then I had submitted to speak at National NENA, my PTSD session, and I got a call. I got accepted. And then I got a call from Chris Carver, and he's like, hey, we're thinking of bringing Dr. Lilly in. Would you want to present with her? And I'm like, yes.
For sure.
And that
of
was
course.
It. So we got connected. We worked back and forth, and we're like, this is how we're going to tackle this. And we knew right away that an hour was definitely not going to be good enough.
Right. You guys needed at least two.
Yeah.
Maybe three. I would say like a super session is what the both of you need to really get everything out there and not feel, you know, rushed or anything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because you're going through all of that, people are going to have questions,
right?
And you have to stop at a certain time, or you're stopping in the middle because people are asking questions, and it's hard
get that out there. And you could just see people wanting to ask questions, and it's like, ain't nobody got time for that. Like, we got a message to deliver.
We've got 200 slides here. We got to get through it.
we got to go. So I'm very thankful. As you mentioned, I'm the closing speaker here, and they've given me whatever I need. So I have a 3-hour window. I hope I don't take all that, but she's getting called up and she didn't realize that. So
until just now?
No.
I told her in the elevator when we were, you know, going up for the evening. I'm like, oh, by the way. Yeah. So I'll be pulling you up. And she's like, okay.
Yeah. I came to support you. And I'm coming up now.
Nope. I want her to talk about her study, and I want her to talk about the amazing things that she's doing that you'll hear about in just a little bit.
Right. So for this, not only the session that you have done together, but what you're going to be doing for as the closing speaker, just give us a little overview. What is it that people can be, you know, looking forward to?
So,
get out of it.
Yeah. So whenever I teach my PTSD session, it blows me away the number of people that walk in the room. Even on the first one I did, I'm like, oh, I wonder if people are going to come because of that stigma. And
right.
when I saw the amount of people that walked into the room the first time I did this, I'm like, I'm doing the right thing. And then it just got bigger and bigger. And when I say bigger and bigger, it's now people are requesting it from me. They're like, oh, you come into this conference. Can you do this? Can you be the keynote? Can you, because people want to hear the story. So I share my story of my journey, and I shared it on podcast 157 a year ago today.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And I share my story because I want people to know it's okay to not be okay. And I know that's such a cliche statement, but when people see me as a person, I'm happy, I'm joking, people look at me and they're like, wow, she's got it all. And yeah, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. And I want people to know that when they're in that place of not having it all, the first thing they need to do is reach out and get help.
Right.
And I tried to get help a couple of times. There were some things that worked and some things that didn't. So sharing that piece of the story, and then it's not just about my PTSD journey. It's about what I've seen in other telecommunicators. I share stories of some of my telecommunicators and things that they need to look for. And when we talk about, like, one of the things that I end my session all the time is, you know, you got to follow up and follow through. And what I mean by that is, a supervisor can totally walk up to a telecommunicator after a bad call and be like, hey, I heard that really you had a bad call. How are you feeling about that? And then that's it. A week later, they're not checking in. A month later, they're not checking in. 6 months later, that person's world could be spiraling out of control and that supervisor doesn't even know. So I want supervisors and directors to get better at checking on people, not just right after the call, but down the line.
Right.
So those are some of the messages. And then I'm incorporating a piece tomorrow that I haven't incorporated yet because I don't have the time. A lot of time, it's an hour, but I'm bringing in the family aspect of it. We live in these worlds with public safety folks and we tend to like paint ourselves into these boxes, but I'm going to share some stuff about what it did to my family and how supportive they have been. And I wouldn't be where I am without them, but it affects them too. So I'm going to cover a lot of things tomorrow.
That's good. I mean, because like I was saying yesterday in my session, and I've said it many times, because I buried my calls, I kind of screwed myself and my family because, you know, they didn't have the best me.
Yep.
And it was always... it was hard. You know, it was really hard. It was hard on them. And the fact that I didn't get to see them that much either, that just made things worse. You know, we were roommates for a while there.
For sure. Yeah.
And I would just check in. They're like, hey, well, let's go get something to eat. Okay, I got to go to sleep. All right, now I got to go back to work. And that's what my routine was.
Yeah.
And I always had a smile on my face, but they didn't know that I was really dealing with all the bullshit that comes with 911 until I started writing about everything, because that was my own therapy. To get all that out, you know, that's when people started realizing, oh shit, he's not all that happy.
So one of the mantras that I've assumed in my life is if I toast you, my motto is to saving lives on both sides of the headset.
Yeah.
And for me, it's important because what we're doing at Rapid SOS with being able to locate callers and send additional data is going to help telecommunicators too, not just the person on the other end of the phone. I know what it feels like to not find people.
Yes. There's definitely a stress reliever there.
That those calls stick with you. And sometimes you don't even realize that they stick with you. So for me, being able to not only help the callers, I know that what we're doing is helping the telecommunicators too.
Right.
So it's all come full circle for me. Like I couldn't be in a better place.
That's amazing. Now, Michelle, you've got... Oh, I called you Michelle. I didn't call you Doctor. Dr. Lily.
Dr. Lily.
People just need to call me Michelle. Or Michelle, people Michelle call works. Me sometimes Dr. Fancy Pants. Just the other.
This is right. Yeah.
Yes. Dr. Fancy Pants. Yes.
Oh, where did that come from?
So it actually came from my family. And then I one time told Ty Wooten at Nina, and then he has now
told everybody.
So I actually do respond to Dr. Fancy Pants. So if you were saying, I probably will turn my head. So,
nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to remember that. So that the next time I see you, hello there.
Hello, Dr. Fancy Pants.
So funny.
Yes. So you started something recently.
Yes.
And it's called 911 Recovers.
Yeah,
right?
So cool.
That's correct.
And so tell me about this, because this looks very interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of as Tracy was talking about, so I gave the closing keynote address here in 2012. Uh-huh. And I was telling Ricardo earlier, when I was talking about PTSD, I had a whole bunch of people sitting back in their seats with their arms crossed, glaring at me, right? And so it was kind of this labor of love of like trying to get PTSD on the map. And then people kept saying, well, what do we do? You know, once we identify the stress and or PTSD or depression or whatever is going on, what do we do? And I said, find resources in your community. And then they'd say, I don't know how, or there aren't any, or I don't feel like it's confidential, or I live in a small community, or people aren't doing empirically supported treatments. And so, and I would just be kind of like, ooh, that's too bad, right? So it's like, but I'm a licensed clinical psychologist. I was trained in empirically supported treatments for PTSD and depression, and I just really got tired of hearing people say this. And so it was, I think, probably March, and somebody sent me a report from the state of Colorado that was basically showing, you know, high need for therapy services, and like nobody felt like they could find somebody. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there thinking, I need to do something finally.
Right.
Like, I can't do this anymore. And you know, with that spread of use of telemedicine, the timing just seemed perfect. And so I started 911 Recovers to treat 911 telecommunicators who are suffering. As of right now, I can only treat people in the state of Illinois because of licensing issues. But I use video conferencing and to conduct the therapy sessions, which is used in the Veterans Administration. And so it's going to start with folks in the state of Illinois. Anyone who's interested, I'm happy to kind of talk about whether or not they're a good fit for the service. And then in 2020, there's going to be more states that I can actually practice in. So Illinois actually just passed this thing called SciPact. And eventually, any other state that has SciPact legislature, I can treat people in that state.
That is so very exciting because, as I mentioned, everywhere I go, I teach my rapid SOS session, pulling in the PTSD session. She's going to give me a box of these awesome flyers and her information, and I can't wait for the day that I can pass them out to everybody in the room and just say, you know, this is a resource for you. How
right.
often does the telecommunicator get left out? And this is for them. And I can't thank you enough for doing that, because since I've been doing this, the people that reach out to me after the sessions that I do, whether it's on Facebook or LinkedIn or, you know, an email, or just walk up and hug me, and I know there's so many people that need help, and I want them to be able to have that resource, and no better person to do that than you. So thank you so much.
Yeah, somebody just asked me earlier. I handed them a pamphlet, and they're like, okay, so all public safety? And I'm like, 911.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, if somebody's coming to me and suffering as an ethical, you know, loving human
right.
being, like, I'm not going to be like, nah.
Yeah.
But
deuces. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. And so, you know, I really want this to be for 911 and being struggle center.
Yeah. And that's amazing, because that's one of the things, like we were saying, is that dispatch always seems to be left out. And now it seems like there's more and more stuff that's targeting dispatch, and it's about damn time.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
When people say things, they say, it's a new day.
Yeah.
It is a new day.
And Michelle doesn't know yet, but I already have the wheels rolling in my head. We're going to have like a 3-day retreat one day, and all our telecommunicator friends from across the country are going to come, and we're going to work through some stuff.
That would be pretty badass.
Yeah.
And you're going to come in and live broadcast for us.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh,
it is
man.
All about raising awareness for sure.
Yep.
So how do dispatch centers, dispatchers, whichever, how do they find you?
Yeah, so they can reach me in one of two ways. You can just email me at 911recoversllc@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a webpage, www.911recovers.com, which has all the information on there about services. And I am very close, hopefully in the final stages, to being an approved provider with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Once I get that, I might also seek out provider status with a couple of other insurance companies as well. So, I'm really
That's
excited
really
about
cool.
the direction. So,
very
and,
nice.
You know, Blue Cross Blue Shield is very, you know, I don't usually have lots of positive things to say about insurance companies, but they have a very progressive policy towards telemedicine, and there is, you know, national level legislation going through all the time that mandates that telemedicine can be treated on par with in-person services, because they're showing that it honestly doesn't make a difference. People who are treated using telemedicine tend to do just as well as people who are doing in-person. And sometimes then it's even more convenient. People can do it from in their home. They don't have to travel. They are in the comfort of their own home. You know, there's also, you know, there's other things too. Like, I have to make sure that I have a safety protocol because the person's not in the room with me. So there's more on my end. But I think for telecommunicators, I think it'd be a good fit. So
yeah, and there's so many different types of treatment out there, and not everything works for everybody. Mm-hmm. And to be able to have this new layer, this is where we are. Like, the technology, the capabilities, is it may work for somebody. Somebody else may need to sit there. Somebody may just want to be on the phone and not, I mean, dispatchers are usually behind the mic, right?
Right.
They don't want to be visually seen. So this to me, this is a no-brainer. This is a win-win for everybody involved, for sure.
Now, what about social media? Do you have anything out on social media at all?
I'm not great at self-promotion, and nor am I good at, you know, marketing. And so I do have a Facebook page, and which I would love if people wanted to go there and find 911 Recovers, maybe LLC. That doesn't work. Use LLC at the end.
Yes.
Like my page. I do have a Twitter account. I am not. I'm gonna have Tracy actually show me how to use Twitter.
Yeah. Well, Ricardo's gonna have to actually show me, and then I can show you.
Okay.
Because I have not got into the Twitter thing.
Yeah. We need to learn to tweet.
I can hook you up with some marketing lessons for sure.
Cool. Yeah, that would be very helpful. Because, you know, I was kind of saying, you know, I hope if I build this, people will come. But I'm not. That's not. You know, I'm a professor. You know, like, this is not. This is kind of above my pay grade. I just want to make a difference.
See,
right.
So I don't want to be. So here's what I'm thinking. So right now you get the garden hose on. It's just like kind of trickling out. And yeah. I say, you know, 1 year from now, we're all sitting here, you're going to be drinking out of the fire hose.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I really hope so. So, and, you know, I'm going to hijack this for just 1 second, because when I was here in 2012, like I said, there was a lot of skepticism. Mm-hmm. And I can only get so far as an academic who's never been in 911. It's you guys, you, Ricardo, and you, Tracy, who've done this. Like, we just need people to approach and not avoid, because avoidance is what kills you, right?
Well, and that is, and it's funny that you say that, because I had a conversation. So I made a mistake in a class the other day, and it was a hard lesson and a hard mistake. So in one of the classes that I teach for Tony Harrison, I have the picture of some folks on the screen that have lost their lives because they couldn't be located, right? So as I'm going through the picture, so I knew the geographic location that I was in, there was somebody up on that screen that I had. So in the morning, and everything happens for a reason. I'm a huge believer in everything happens for a reason. So I'm sitting at the table eating my breakfast. I go into the PowerPoint. I'm like, oh, I need to take that out. So I took out the picture of the person, because I didn't know if the dispatcher was going to be in the class, but took the picture out, and I made some updates and stuff, and I went to save it, and it wouldn't save. And this is where, when I go back, I'm like, everything happens for a reason. So it wouldn't save. It just said, could not, whatever. I don't know what the deal was. So I just closed the top, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get in there, and I'm just going to open it, and I'm going to run with it.
Yeah.
So I'm getting ready to start, and it won't move. So it won't go into a slideshow. So I get it up to the slideshow, and it won't advance. And I'm like, what? So I pull out of it, and it says, PowerPoint has to close unexpectedly. And I'm like, no, I just made all these changes. And you know, when you teach, that moment in your go time, you're like, I don't need anything technological to not work.
Right. You get that pucker factor.
Yeah. So now I'm like, oh no. Now it's gone. But I'm in that moment, my heart's racing. I'm like, I just got to go back to the old version.
Right.
So I pop up the old version. I start speaking. I get to that slide. And instantly I realize that picture's still in there. And there's no place I can go. I'm like, I can't skip over it. I'm like, do I take a break in the middle of a slide as I'm like, what do I do?
Yeah, a little sleight of hand or something.
And I'm talking, and then I'm like, I'm just going to drive through it. And I put the picture up, and instantly she raises her hand and says, "That was my call." And I froze. And I was just like, please understand, like, I'm not criticizing you. It was the system failed. The system failed him. And she's like, yep, I know. And she got up and she walked out. And I said, can somebody? And then I'm like, I got to go. I'll be right back. So I went outside and she was crying. And I just hugged her. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. So sorry. Like, there was nothing I could say or do in that moment. And she's like, it's fine. So I said, let's chat at lunch. And when lunch came, I sent everybody away and we started talking and I shared my story with her. And she realized right in that moment that she needs help.
Right.
And I told her about my EMDR therapy that has worked for me tremendously. And you know what she said? And the reason why I started the story, because of what you just said, is you got to face it. And the one thing she said to me about EMDR therapy was, she goes, I don't want to go there. And I said, unfortunately, you have to. You have to go back there to that call, to that day, to that moment, to every other thing that happened. You have to go there.
Right.
And she's like, I don't think I can. She's like, I don't want to feel that. And I'm like, you have to. And she has now committed to going to get herself help.
That's amazing.
So I knew, like, everything happened for a reason.
Yep.
In that moment. And we do have to go through it. We have to face it. And
goosebumps, yeah. Man.
Yeah, it was a cool story. And when she friended me on Facebook, I'm like, whew, good, she doesn't hate me.
Well, you saved her life.
Yeah. Like, you helped. You
and I knew that. I knew in that moment, I'm like, thanks, universe, for screwing up my new presentation.
Yeah, right.
Like, it happened for a reason.
Exactly. The planets aligned in that moment for you.
So many things like that happen.
So how do people get a hold of you?
Facebook, LinkedIn, my email address is teldridge@rapidsos.com. They can find me anywhere. And if you're a dispatcher, you're my friend on Facebook. For sure.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Awesome. And if you're not, you need to be. Because I share a lot of stuff.
Thin gold line. Boom.
Yes, for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you both very, very much for being on this episode. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
A lot of good laughs. And we definitely need to do this again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For sure.
Next year when she's drinking out of the fire hose.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Awesome.
For those who are listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's going to be wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's @911podcast. I'm trying not to laugh while doing this. And if you want, you can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. This episode, along with all the others, are always supported by InDigital Elite, our next-gen core services. And you can hear this, along with all the others, 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.